Part One of The Persians. This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. Recording by expatriate in Bangor, Maine. The Persians by Aeschylus. Translated by Edmund Morshead, 1849 to 1912. Part One. Argument. Xerxes, son of Darius and of his wife Atossa, daughter of Cyrus, went forth against Hellas to take vengeance upon those who had defeated his father at Marathon. But ill fortune befell the king and his army both by land and sea. Neither did it avail him that he cast a bridge over the Hellespont and made a canal across the promontory of Mount Athos and brought myriads of men by land and sea to subdue the Greeks. For in the strait between Athens and the island of Salamis, the Persian ships were shattered and sunk or put to flight by those of Athens and Lacedaemon and Aegina and Corinth, and Xerxes went homewards on the way by which he had come, leaving his general Mardonius with 300,000 men to strive with the Greeks by land. But in the next year they were destroyed near Plataea in Boeotia, by the Lacedaemonians and Athenians and Tegeans. Such was the end of the army which Xerxes left behind him. But the king himself had reached the bridge over the Hellespont, and late and hardly, and in sorry plight, and with few companions, came home unto the palace of Susa. Dramatis Personae. Chorus of Persian Elders. Atossa, widow of Darius and mother of Xerxes. A Messenger, The Ghost of Darius, Xerxes. The scene is laid at the palace of Susa. Chorus. Away unto the Grecian land hath passed the Persian armament. We, by the monarch's high command, we are the warders true who stand, chosen for honor and descent to watch the wealth of him who went, guards of the gold, and faithful styled by Xerxes, great Darius' child. But the king went, nor comes again, and for that host we saw depart arrayed in gold, my boding heart aches with a pulse of anxious pain, presageful for its youthful king. No scout, no steed, no battle-car comes speeding hitherward to bring news to our city from afar. Erewhile they went, away, away, from Susa, from Ecbatana, from Kisa's time-worn fortress gray, passing to ravage and to war, some upon steeds, on galleys some in close files they passed from home, all upon warlike errand bent, Amistras, Artaphernes went, Astaspes, Megabazes high, lords of the Persian chivalry, marshals who serve the great king's word, chieftains of all the mighty horde. Horsemen and bowmen streamed away, grim in their aspect, fixed to slay, and resolute to face the fray. With troops of horse careering fast, Macistes, Artimbares passed, Emmaus too, the bowman brave, Sosthenes, Pharandaces drave, and others the all-nursing wave of Nilus to the battle gave. Came Susiscanes, warrior wild, and Pegastagon, Egypt's child. Thee, brave Arsames, from afar did holy Memphis launch to war, and Ariomardus, high in fame, from Thebes the immemorial came, an oarsman skilled from Nilus' fen, a countless crowd of warlike men. And next the dainty Lydians went, soft rulers of a continent, Mitragathes and Arctius bold, in twin command their ranks controlled. And Sardis town, that teems with gold, sent forth its squadrons to the war, horse upon horse and car on car, double and triple teams they rolled, in onset awful to behold. From Tmolus's sacred hill there came the native hordes to join the fray, and upon Hellas' neck to lay the yoke of slavery and shame. Mardon and Tharubis were there, bright anvils for the foeman's spear, and Mysian dartmen sped to war, and the long crowd that onward rolled from Babylon enriched with gold, captains of ships and archers skilled to speed the shaft, and those who wield the scimitar, the eastern band, who by the great king's high command swept to subdue the western land. Gone are they, gone. Ah, well-a-day, the flower and pride of our array, in all the Eastland from whose breast came forth her bravest and her best, craves longingly with boding dread, parents for sons and brides new wed, for absent lords, and day by day shudder with dread at their delay. Ere now they have passed o'er the sea, the manifold host of the king, they have gone forth to sack and to burn, ashore on the Westland they spring. With cordage and rope they have bridged the seaway of Hela to pass, o'er the strait that is named by thy name, O daughter of Athamas. They have anchored their ships in the current, they have bridled the neck of the sea. The shepherd and lord of the east hath bidden a roadway to be. From the land to the land they pass over, a herd at the high king's best, some by the way of the waves, and some o'er the planking have pressed. For the king is a lord and a god. He was born of the golden seed, that erst upon Danae fell, his captains are strong at the need. And dark is the glare of his eyes, as eyes of a serpent blood-fed, and with manifold troops in his train, and with manifold ships hath he sped. Yea, sped with his Syrian cars, he leads on the lords of the bow, to meet with the men of the west, the spear-armed force of the foe. Can any make head and resist him, when he comes with the roll of a wave? No barrier nor phalanx of might, no chief be he ever so brave. For stern is the onset of Persia, and gallant her children in fight. But the guile of the god is deceitful, and who shall elude him by flight? And who is the lord of the leap that can spring and alight and evade? For Ate deludes and allures, till round him the meshes are laid, and no man his doom can escape. It was writ in the rule of high heaven that in tramp of the steeds and in crash of the charge the war cry of Persia be given. They have learned to behold the forbidden, the sacred enclosure of sea, where the waters are wide and in stress of the wind the billows roll hoary to lee. And their trust is in cable and cordage, too weak in the power of the blast, and frail are the links of the bridge whereby unto Hellas they pass. Therefore my gloom-wrapped heart is rent with sorrow for what may hap to-morrow. Alack for all the Persian armament, alack lest there be sent dread news of desolation, Susa's land, bereft, forlorn, unmanned. Lest the great Kisian fortress echo back the wail, alack, alack, the sound of women shriek who wail and mourn with fine-spun raiment torn. The charioteers went forth nor come again, and all the marching men, even as a swarm of bees, have flown afar, drawn by the king to war. Crossing the sea-bridge, linked from side to side, that doth the waves divide, and the soft bridal couch of bygone years is now bedewed with tears. Each princess, clad in garments delicate, wails for her widowed fate. Alas, my gallant bridegroom, lost and gone, and I am left alone. But now, ye warders of the state, here in this hall of old renown, behooves that we deliberate in counsel deep and wise debate, for need is surely shown. How fareth he, Darius's child, the Persian king from Perseus styled? Comes triumph to the eastern bow, or hath the lance point conquered now? Enter Atossa. See, yonder comes the mother queen, light of our eyes and godlike sheen, the royal mother of the king. Fall we before her. Well it were that all as one we sue to her and round her footsteps cling. Queen, among deep-girded Persian dames thou highest and most royal, hoary mother thou of Xerxes and Darius wife of old. To godlike sire and godlike son we bow us and are loyal, unless on us an adverse tide of destiny has rolled. Atossa, therefore come I forth to you from chambers decked and golden, where long ago Darius laid his head with me beside, and my heart is torn with anguish, and with terror am I holden, And I plead unto your friendship, and I bid you to my side. Darius in the old time, by aid of some immortal, raised up the stately fabric, our wealth of long ago. But I tremble lest it totter down and ruin porch and portal, and the whirling dust of downfall rise above its overthrow. Therefore a dread unspeakable within me never slumbers, saying, honor not the gods of wealth if men have ceased to grow, nor deem that men, apart from wealth, can find their strength in numbers. We shudder for our light and king, though we have gold enow. No light there is in any house save presence of the master. So runs the saw, ye aged men, and truth it says indeed. On you I call, the wise and true, to ward us from disaster, for all my hope is fixed on you to prop us in our need. Chorus. Queen mother of the Persian land, to thy commandment bowing, whate'er thou wilt in word or deed, we follow to fulfill. Not twice we need thine high behest, our faith and duty knowing, in counsel and in act alike, thy loyal servants still. Atossa. Long while by various visions of the night am I beset, since to Ionian lands with marshalled host my son went forth to war. Yet never saw I presage so distinct as in the night now past. Attend my tale. A dream I had. Two women nobly clad came to my sight, one robed in Persian dress, the other vested in the Dorian garb, and both right stately and more tall by far than women of today, and beautiful beyond disparagement, and sisters sprung both of one race. But by their natal lot, one born in Hellas, one in Eastern land. These, as it seemed unto my watching eyes, roused each the other to a mutual feud, the which my son, perceiving, set himself to check and soothe their struggle, and anon yoked them and set the collars on their necks. And one, the Ionian, proud in this array, paced in high quietude and lent her mouth, obedient to the guidance of the rein. But restively the other strove and broke the fittings of the car and plunged away with mouth unbidded. O'er the broken yoke my son was hurled, and lo, Darius stood in lamentation o'er his fallen child. Him Xerxes saw and rent his robe in grief. Such was my vision of the night now past. But when arising I had dipped my hand in the fair lustral stream, I drew towards the altar in the act of sacrifice, having in mind to offer as their due the sacred meal-cake to the averting powers, lords of the rite that banisheth ill dreams. When, lo, I saw an eagle fleeing fast to Phoebus' shrine. O friends, I stayed my steps, too scared to speak, for, close upon his flight, a little falcon dashed in winged pursuit, plucking with claws the eagle's head, while he could only crouch and cower and yield himself. Scared was I by that sight, and eke to you no less a terror must it be to hear. For mark this well, if Xerxes have prevailed, he shall come back the wonder of the world. If not, still none can call him to account, so he but live, he liveth Persia's king. Chorus. Queen, it stands not with my purpose to abet these fears of thine, nor to speak with glazing comfort. Nay, betake thee to the shrine. If thy dream foretold disaster, sue to gods to bar its way, and for thyself, son, state, and friends, to bring fair fate today. Next, unto earth and to the dead be due libation poured, and by thee let Darius' soul be wistfully implored. I saw thee, Lord, in last night's dream, a phantom from the grave. I pray thee, Lord, from earth beneath, come forth to help and save. To me and to thy son, send up the bliss of triumph now, and hold the gloomy fates of ill dim in the dark below. Such be thy words. My inner heart good tidings doth foretell, and that fair fate will spring thereof, if wisdom guide us well. Atossa. Loyal thou that first hast read this dream, this vision of the night, with loyalty to me, the queen, be then thy presage right. And therefore, as thy bidding is, what time I pass within to dedicate these offerings, new prayers I will begin. alike to gods and the great dead who loved our lineage well. Yet one more word. Say, in what realm do the Athenians dwell? Chorus. Far hence, even where in evening land goes down our lord the sun. Atossa. Say, had my son so keen desire that region to o'errun? Chorus. Yea, if she fell, the rest of Greece were subject to our sway. Atossa. Hath she so great predominance, such legions in array? Chorus. Aye, such a host as smote us sore upon an earlier day. Atossa. And what hath she besides her men, enow of wealth in store? Chorus. A mine of treasure in the earth, a fount of silver ore. Atossa. Is it in skill of bow and shaft that Athens' men excel? Chorus. Nay, they bear bucklers in the fight and thrust a spear-point well. Atossa. And who is shepherd of their host and holds them in command? Chorus. To no man do they bow as slaves, nor own a master's hand. Atossa. How should they bide our brunt of war, the east upon the west? Chorus. That could Darius' valiant horde in days of yore attest. Atossa. A boding word to us who bore the men now far away. Chorus. Nay, as I deem, the very truth will dawn on us today. A Persian by his garb and speed, a courier draws anear. He bringeth news of good or ill for Persia's land to hear. Enter a messenger. Messenger. O walls and towers of all the Asian realm, O Persian land, O treasure house of gold, how by one stroke down to destruction down hath sunk our pride, and all the flower of war that once was Persia's lieth in the dust. Woe on the man who first announceth woe! Yet must I all the tale of death unroll. Hark to me, Persians! Persia's host lies low. Chorus. O ruin manifold and woe and fear! Let the wild tears run down, for the great doom is here. Messenger. This blow hath fallen to the utterance, and I, past hope, behold my safe return. Chorus. Too long, alack, too long this life of mine, that in mine age I see this sudden woe condign. Messenger. As one who saw by no loose rumor led, lords, I would tell what doom was dealt to us. Chorus. Alack, how vainly have they striven! Our myriad hordes with shaft and bow went from the Eastland to lay low Hellas, beloved of heaven. Messenger. Piled with men dead, yea, miserably slain, is every beach, each reef of Salamis. Chorus. Thou sayest sooth. Ah, well-a-day, battered amid the waves and torn, on surges hither, thither borne, dead bodies, blood-stained and forlorn, in their long cloaks they toss and stray. Messenger, their bows availed not, all have perished, all, by charging galleys crushed and whelmed in death. Chorus, shriek out your sorrow's wistful wail. To their untimely doom they went, ill strove they, and to no avail, and minished is their armament. Messenger, out on thee, hateful name of Salamis, out upon Athens' mournful memory. Chorus, woe upon this day's evil fame, thou, Athens, art our murderess. Alack, full many a Persian dame is left forlorn and husbandless. Atossa. Mute have I been a while, and overwrought at this great sorrow, for it passeth speech, and passeth all desire to ask of it. Yet if the gods send evils, men must bear. To the messenger, unroll the record, stand composed and tell, although thy heart be groaning inwardly, who hath escaped, and of our leaders whom have we to weep? What chieftains in the van stood, sank, and died, and left us leaderless? Messenger, Xerxes himself survives and sees the day. Atossa, then to my line thy word renews the dawn and golden dayspring after gloom of night. Messenger, But the brave marshal of 10,000 horse, Artembares, is tossed and flung in death along the rugged rock Cyllenian. And Daraches no longer leads his troop, but smitten by the spear, from off the prow hath lightly leaped to death. And Tenagon, in true descent, a Bactrian nobly born, drifts by the sea-lashed reefs of Salamis, the isle of Ajax. Gone Lilaeus too, gone are Arsames and Argestes, all, around the islet where the sea-doves breed, dash their defeated heads on iron rocks. Arcteus, who dwelt beside the founts of Nile, Aduis, Pheresues, and with them Pharnucus, from one galley's deck went down. Metallus, too, of Crisa, lord and king of myriad hordes, who led unto the fight 3 times 10,000 swarthy cavaliers, fell with his swarthy and abundant beard incarnadine to red, a crimson stain outrivaling the purple of the sea. Their Magian Arabus and Artemis of Bactra perished, taking up alike in yonder stony land their long sojourn. A mistress, too, and he whose strenuous spear was foremost in the fight, Amphistrius, fell, and gallant Ariomardus, by whose death broods sorrow upon Sardis. Mysia mourns for Sisamis, and Tharubis lies low, commander he of 5 times 50 ships, born in Lyrnessus. His heroic form is low in death, ungraced with sepulchre. Dead too is he, the lord of courage high, Cilicia's marshal, brave Cyanasis, than whom none dealt more carnage on the foe, nor perished by a more heroic end. So fell the brave, so speak I of their doom, summing in brief the fate of myriads. Atossa, ah, well-a-day, these crowning woes I hear, the shame of Persia and her shrieks of dole. But yet renew the tale, repeat thy words, tell o'er the count of those Hellenic ships, and how they ventured with their beaked prows to charge upon the Persian armament. Messenger, know if mere count of ships could win the day, the Persians had prevailed. The Greeks, in sooth, had but 300 galleys at the most, and other 10, select and separate. But, I am witness, Xerxes held command of full 1,000 keels, and, those apart, 200 more and 7 for speed renowned. So stands the reckoning, and who shall dare to say we Persians had the lesser host? Atossa, nay, we were worsted by an unseen power, who swayed the balance downward to our doom. Messenger, in ward of heaven doth Pallas city stand. Atossa, how then? Is Athens yet inviolate? Messenger, while her men live, her bulwark standeth firm. Atossa, say, how began the struggle of the ships? Who first joined issue? Did the Greeks attack, or Xerxes in his numbers confident? End of part 1. Recording by Expatriate in Bangor, Maine.